Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to Life After Dusk with Daddy J. The best news, the best hip-hop, the best entertainment, the best everything.
Life After Dusk makes Boomer get stomped on. Yes, makes Boomer get stomped on. Life After Dusk makes Boomer get stomped on. Yes, makes Boomer get stomped on. Life After Dusk makes Boomer get stomped on. Yes. Make Boomer get stomped on. Life After Dusk. Make Boomer get stomped on. Yeah. Make Boomer get stomped on. Life After Dusk. Make Boomer get stomped on. Say AJ will leave your body on the floor. Till I'm on the lead of intercession. Break out the crack of dawn. Keep the rings of wars blazing. Till it's gone. Coops can't believe the hype. Believe the hype. The girls are gone. We getting
wild for the night.
Come with better moves, put up a better fight, keeping other opponents, yeah, they always in my sight. So before you come forward to the ring and enter, all eyes on you, yeah, front and center. If you're scared, so you're scared of still playing victory. Going strong for the belt, we're about to make history. Ring the bell, better yet, ring the alarm. Leaving bodies left with pain like a thing from a swarm. So we get over here, yeah, I know you really don't want none. You know who it is, make Boomer get stomped on.
Life After Dusk, make Boomer get stomped on. Yes, make Boomer get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make Boomer get stomped on. Yeah, make Boomer get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make Boomer get stomped on. Yeah, make Boomer get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make Boomer get stomped on. Yeah, make Boomer get stomped on.
What's up, everyone? What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to Life After Dusk Live. This is your boy, Steady J, and man, it is another beautiful day. It is a beautiful Tuesday, to be more exact. Might be cold, but heck, it's always a beautiful day. As long as I'm alive and God is keeping me in good health as much as possible. So just big ups to that. And I just want to thank everyone, man, who just continues to support the big movements that we always got going on, man. Without y'all, you know, we wouldn't be as far as we got, and about the artists and the listeners. Just me continue to do what y'all do, man. Really get to keep continuing to get the show out there, and also the 24/7 radio station. So there you go, man. And with that being said, I definitely want to make sure I definitely want to make sure that I give y'all a shout out for the fourth month running of the Ice Radio USA.net network, or radio network, which I'm actually one of the program managers for. And basically, you know, it's like 16, 17 different stations on there. Most of them are genre stations, three of them independent stations. One independent station being mine, yet again for yet another month. That'd be 3 months in a row, actually, or maybe 4 months in a row. We actually have hit the top independent station. We are the top independent station on there. We are the third most listened to station, period. So that includes different genre stations in the independent station, the third most listened to station. And we basically doubled our listener number up from last month to this month. It's double the numbers. I mean, wow, y'all. Y'all really got out there, and the thing is, we haven't even done some big promotion like a lot of these places have done and whatnot. We haven't even really gotten to doing that yet. So when we get into that point, I mean, we're gonna really do some big things. So that's what's up. I want to go ahead and also let y'all know who's coming on the show today, and that's my boy Sixth Sense. Shout out to Sixth Sense. He's actually over in Korea. So when I know y'all like, dang, people be calling from other countries, let alone other continents in the world. I mean, yes, it does happen that way, everyone. It's not a figment of your imagination. It is real. It is what it is. It wouldn't be called Global Tech Mixtape Series without it actually being global. So there we go. It's actually from here. So let me go ahead and cut that to your minds now. It's actually from the good old United States. He's been in VA. He's been actually not too far from me in Texas. And it's big ups to him. And he's just really holding it down for our troops and whatnot. And that's just, I mean, yet again, it's the second week in a row where people really, you know, this work with the service. or working in the service, and is really taking their talents that they also are very great at, and is finding time to mix those in. So I can say big ups to y'all. I know this is one of those times of the year where it's always hard for me to really think about, and that's Christmas, because I'm going home to their loved ones because they're fighting for us or whatnot. So just big ups to y'all. Continue to do what y'all do. And what we're going to go ahead and do, we'll go ahead and play. We'll play one of his tracks now. We got a lot of music by him, so y'all get ready for that. We're getting ready to play. Actually, this track here is actually on the polls right now for top of song on Life That It Does Live for 2010. So y'all get ready to check it out. Here we go. This is Rob Virginity. If you haven't heard it yet, this will be the first time you heard it in a live show. So, but it is really hot right now on 24/7 station. So here we go. 6 cents, Virginity. And then we come back, we'll actually talk to my boy 6 cents. All right.
The mix up, switch up, my dicks up. Time to get my dicks up, from like honey, I picked up. Pretty get the hiccups, doing a new bra. Sorry, mom, moving the comments, I'm creating new bra. Shit is never too hard, and if I go to the bar, I'm sipping cranberry, if I got a Sony Denor. But not cuz, whatever the subject I'm living on, it's in my mind, it's only like the shit that I'm spitting to. Make them get a little wet in their drawers, I bet it's because they know my status, see, I got the cheddar rewards. But no, I sell off a ticket, so I'm better than cause. I was born a black man, my package better be large. Begging to have kids with them great faces and fragrances, the only way I'm kissing a missionary position is the only way I'm hitting them.
Everybody, it's your girl Elizabeth Langham, and whenever I'm not being a total goofball or trying to get famous, you know I'm listening to Life After Dusk Live on Ice Radio USA and The Dusk Spot. My man, Fetty J.
All right, y'all, welcome back. listening to Life at the Dust Live with your boy Shetty J. That was my boy Six Sense, and that was his track On Virginity. So most definitely, y'all make sure y'all go to Dust Spot at duskowls.ning.com, which go ahead and put that out there right now. Today will be the last day that it will be duskowls.ning.com. Today will be the last day. Tomorrow, it will be something else. So y'all be on the lookout. I will be dropping what the new URL is on tomorrow. You will see me tweet it. All you got to do is go to SettyJDusk on Twitter. Or if you go to Facebook.com/SettyJDusk, you'll find it on there. You'll find it pretty much anywhere. You just type in SettyJ on your search engine on Google, you'll find it. So there you go. All right, without further ado, go ahead and bring in my boy Six Sense right now. Here we go. Is this the one and only Six Sense?
This is him, man. What's up, Steady J?
What's up, man? Dang, man, you all the way in. What time is over in Korea right now?
It's 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday out here.
So, man, every time people call and they're like far into the day on the other side of the world, I feel like that they time traveled.
Yeah, for real. Like I'm in the future or something. I know we talked about
right,
couple
like,
times.
I want you
to
like tell me
date.
What's gonna happen tomorrow, man. Like you can just, I'm like, do you know anything, you know what's gonna happen for me tomorrow, man? I'm trying to figure out what my future's gonna be.
Hey, I know you was out here, you be freezing, man. It's like 11 degrees out here right now. I hope you enjoying that good weather.
Woo!
In Texas, man.
Texas, well, you know Texas weather, it does what it wants to do, too. It'll be hot.
Yeah.
It'll be hot one day, next day it'll be cold, it'll be rainy, and then it wants to have a hailstorm. It does whatever it wants to do, and this all happens in one season, not in, like, multiple seasons. This will happen. It can be 90 degrees in the winter. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know 90 degrees sound lovely right now.
Oh, it ain't 90 today. It was cold today. Today was actually that bad. It was probably like, I felt when I saw it, felt like 70. Sorry, so that was actually good. It felt pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But most definitely, man, you know, man, actually, man, you know, one question I definitely wanted to ask me, why is Six Sense over in Korea? Why is he over in Korea?
Well, before I came in, I joined the military first back in 2005, and I did my 4-year term, and I got out, and I moved to Houston, Texas. And I was there for a while, you know, I was doing some things in Texas, and I actually had got married, and then I had a couple children. I had two daughters, so I was like, you know what, I want to provide a real stable lifestyle for them. You know, I want to get them a chance to travel. Like, both of my parents are military. I traveled all around the world my whole life due to the military. And I had a great childhood growing up, and, you know, I wanted the same thing for my kids. So had an opportunity to come to Asia. I was like, we need to take that.
Most definitely, man. And, like, what would you, as far as, like, what would you say is probably, if you could just, like, kind of describe how the area is over there compared to the States, what would you say your comparison would be?
Oh, man, I mean, It has its pros and cons, you know. Like one of the things I really like is it's real laid back, you know. Like everything is really in tune as far as technology, like way way far advanced, you know. You know, not to boast, you know, but the houses out here that you know my family lives in, you know, they got built-in flat screen TVs to monitor what's going on, to monitor the playground and stuff so you can watch your kids from inside the house. I mean, just a bunch of different things. It's real nice. You know, they're lacking on some fast food restaurants. You see at McDonald's, it's like $1 million out here to find one of those. No drive-thrus, anything like that. You know, but I mean, it's cool. The people are real nice here. They take real good to Americans, you know, real, real generous people, you know, and they like to party. So it's nice.
Oh.
Get away from a lot of drama, you know, it's kind of cool, mellow, just chill.
Most definitely, man. So that leads, you basically kind of give a story of why, of the military background a little bit. Like, basically, that leads to my next point. How did you actually get into music?
Oh, well, funny, I'm in Asia now. My musical career, if you say, started in Asia when I was I think I moved to Japan when I was six. My mom was in the Marines staying with my father, but I had lived with my mother. And I was living in Okinawa, Japan. And it was just big. You know, hip-hop is a big thing over there. But I was into breakdancing, which still was, you know, major in hip-hop. And I used to do the breakdance and listen to all the music and whatnot. And I was good in school, and poetry was kind of my craft. That was kind of my favorite subject. And there was a project that my sixth grade teacher had me do one time. And I didn't want to do it. You know, it was supposed to take about 2 or 3 weeks to do, and it was really long and just strenuous work. And she said, well, look, I'll give you an option. There's a school play for a farewell ceremony for the sixth graders graduating to the seventh grade to go to middle school. So if you can come up with some type of breakdancing hip-hop song, I'll get you out of this project and I'll give you an A grade. So I said, okay, let me see how I can work this one out. So I did as much as I could to try to make this this song. You know, I had never really done a rap song, but I knew music and I knew tempo and I knew poetry. So I said, okay, it can't be that hard. So I ended up doing this song, and I was getting out of class and recess and all this other stuff to go practice with this art teacher, and she was showing me pretty much about stage presence and whatnot, and I just fell in love with doing it. You know, I just fell in love with the hype and the adrenaline of the thought of, you know, motivating people and whatnot, and it actually ended a pretty big performance. You know, it was about 1,000 personnel in attendance, and I had done it. I was nervous when I saw the people. I told my teacher, hey, Ms. Clark, man, I can't get on the stage. There's too many people here, you know. And everybody was like, man, my family came to see this. Me better get on the stage, you know. But as soon as I touched the microphone, the butterflies went away, and I fell in love with it ever since.
And a lot of people did too. Like I said, like every show, before I do every show, I always feel nervous. But like whenever that moment when it's time to go on air, all of the, wherever the heck butterflies I had are all gone.
No, exactly. You know, and it's funny.
I think it's something that makes us humble, too. That's what I honestly think. It's like something that makes, it makes a great performer because it humbles you before you get ready to do a show.
Exactly. And it helps you appreciate the people. I mean, say you have 1,000 people, if you could just focus on a couple or just maybe even one that you know truly and sincerely is like, man, this guy is talented. You can just focus on that one person for the moment, and that person will give you the confidence. I mean, it's just a whole different dynamic of getting in front of a stage and people live like that. You know, it's a wonderful rush. I love it.
Exactly, man. And I mean, most definitely is something that's definitely a sense you have to kind of key into. It takes a while sometimes. Some people I know they get real cocky. And they get, man, I'm about to make this show go hard, man.
Yeah.
Like, you bragged about this?
Yeah, I definitely know that. You'll see a lot of that here, too. You'll see a lot of that. You know, people come here and create Supermans out of themselves, or at least try to. Like, hey, man, look. Look. But, yeah, definitely. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, like you say, it does take time. You know, I'm still trying to perfect my craft. Every show, you know, every show I strive to make it better. And, you know, I just pray for great turnouts and, you know, and great feedback and a wonderful atmosphere. So.
Okay, so you was talking about how, like, you know, basically how that was your start. What was the next point that came into it as far as, like, leading towards doing serious recording and whatnot?
Okay, when I was 16, I was living in Fairfax, Virginia, and I was going to the studio. Well, I was trying to find a studio. They didn't have the Pro Tools, or if they did, it was like all analog. I didn't know anything about it, and I definitely didn't have enough money to buy my own equipment, you know. So I was like, wow. So I went out to Radio Shack, and I bought me a karaoke machine. It had a cassette player in it, and you hooked the microphone up to it. You could record right there, but you couldn't make any mistakes because, you know how the tapes work. It just recorded straight through on the tape. And that's how I was trying to do demos. And I had done like a 3-track demo on it over some beats I got from the internet, and I did this 3-track demo, and I went to the studio in Fairfax, Virginia called Q Recordings, and I met this guy named Artworks, And he was like, what are you doing here? You trying to record some music? And then the guy that worked at the studio hyped me up. You know, I tried to go in there looking like my best rapper image I could think of. You know, I got the whole jumpsuit down, and I went in there, and they were like, hey, this guy's the real deal. You need to listen to him. I heard a little bit of him, just trying to boost me up a little bit in front of this guy who happened to be a producer. And I sat down. He said, okay, well, look, there's no cassette players in the studio. Let's take it down to my car, and we'll listen to it. And I went down there, and he popped the tape in. He listened to it a little bit, and he said, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. This was his exact words. He said, I've heard some bad recordings in my life, but by far, this is the worst recording I've ever heard. I said, what? what are you talking about? And he said, this is pretty much horrible. He said, but you, as an artist, I believe you have a lot of potential. He said, you know, I know you probably recorded this on the worst equipment you could think of, but you, I believe you have a lot of talent. And he said, so I want to hear you in the studio. So he took me to a studio out in Maryland, and I recorded a couple songs for him, and he signed me to a 30-day production label, And I did that, and that gave me some free studio time, and I got familiar with recording. And he was helping me. He was telling me, like, look, you need to do this with your bars, slow your tempo down. You need to have more emphasis here, ad-libs, doubling up. I mean, just a bunch of stuff he was teaching me. And that was enough for me to go on my own way, because after that, he had tried to sign me to a deal for 3 years. I was young. I didn't know it sounded entertaining at the time. I was like, okay, $50,000 for a 16-year-old kid sounded like a lot, but for 3 years. And my family reading over the contract trying to help me out was like, hey, look, they're pretty much going to – you're going to get the shaft if you take this contract. So just wait. You know, if you really want to do this, more opportunities will come. So I didn't sign to the actual deal, but the experience that I got from working with them for those 30 days, and, you know, it helped me out, and it gave me confidence to say, okay, I started investing a little bit at a time in my own little piece of equipment, real cheap stuff. I was recording off of a laptop with a headphone microphone, you know, a little conference mic. That was my studio.
Oh, yes.
And, that was my studio, and I did as much as I could with that. And I happened to make a CD called The First Impression. That was my first mixtape, and it had a great turnout. You know, I probably say I sold about 400 copies in a month, people really not even knowing who I was. But, I mean, I guess the energy from it, I mean, it told the story itself. And from there, I just kept getting better, kept investing in more equipment, working with a lot of different people, different genres of music, reggaeton, rock, some dub reggae, just a bunch of different genres of music. And, you know, I just wanted to keep experimenting. And, you know, the more and more I did it, the better I felt I was becoming. And the more people responded to it, it was just motivation to keep going.
That's definitely. And you were talking about how you're doing all these different genres. That's definitely something very keen people that to tap into. A lot of people, because if you're black, they feel that you can't do anything but R&B and hip hop. And the thing is, no, we can if we want. If you really want to, we actually can, because back in the day, rock and roll was really pioneered by a black person. We already know the whole deal, and everyone always wants to argue that, but yes, it was. Yeah, over the years upon years upon decades, we started drawing our mind out saying that no, it's not, and so we tricked ourselves.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I really, like myself too, like, I hate limiting myself as a radio personality. I hate that people, I've watched, and people always feel that, oh, I got, you know, you gotta do an age of hip hop and R&B show, and I'm like, yeah, I never once, like, I would tell people this too, and I would say it every day to everyone's mind, this is not a hip hop and R&B show. This is a music show. If I want to play,
right.
If I want to do the poker one day, now I'm playing some poker.
Yeah, exactly.
And I try to tell people all the time, as far as rock and roll artists, that don't be afraid to approach me, because I'm not, because I actually like rock. I like rock as much as I love hip hop, so I don't understand it. But And I know pretty much, like, are you part Latin? Because that was going to be my next question, pertaining to the fact that you do reggaeton.
Oh, no, I'm not. What's
the reaction to that? Like, the fact that people find out that you do reggaeton and, like, oh, well, he must be, like, Cuban or something like that. That's going to be the first thing people ask.
Yeah. A lot of people don't believe it. You know, I have a bunch of different songs recorded. You know, like if somebody rides with me, I drown them out with my music. You know, I don't play anything else. You know, when I'm by myself, I listen to something else. But when somebody new comes in my car or something like that, hey, it's just six cents. You know, I try to drown them with the music. And they'll hear a lot of songs. And, you know, the majority of songs are hip-hop songs. But you'll go in there, you'll hear like the Virginity, the techno, and the reggaeton track will come on. And you'll hear Spanish singing at the beginning, like... Then you'll hear me come on rapping like, whoa, you do reggaeton music too? Like, yeah, you know, but it was just different. I've always been in tune with different cultures. You know, like I said, I've traveled my entire life. And when I started doing reggaeton, I had hooked up with this guy from Puerto Rico. And I had known a little bit of Spanish words when I was growing up. I took Spanish immersion, so I knew a little bit here and there. And when I heard this guy say, hey, look, I do reggaeton music, I was like, man, you know, I know there's a reggaeton group out here, and there's people that sing Spanish songs and whatnot, but there's not a mix of the two. I have a good following right now. I was in Hawaii at the time. I had a great following of people that knew my music as far as hip-hop, and he had a good following and more to come from what he was doing. You know, it was a huge, huge fan base open for Hispanic music. And what his idea was like, hey, look, if we bring the two together, our fans will collide, and then we'll... you know, we'll be able to benefit off of each other. And we start doing shows. And to be honest, that really took off a lot more for me than hip-hop did at first because it was different. It was, you know, people thought it was sexy, I guess, you know, for the females. And the guys thought, I mean, it was some flavor into it and there was a lot of swag involved. And a lot of people were just like, hey, look, you know, this is what you should probably try to run with because it's different. Nobody's doing this. Everybody's doing hip-hop. And, you know, this right here could be something new. And we had done maybe about, I say, 12 or 13 songs we had done. And, we did a lot of shows in Hawaii, salsa festivals and different things. And it just opened up a lot of different doors. So when it came time for me to do my hip-hop, a lot of people had already known, so even the Spanish people, they didn't really like so much hip-hop. They were there to support because they know what I had done for their culture and music. So it worked out.
Exactly.
It worked out good.
That's very great because, I mean, like I said, like when I said this year's time for Virginia, Virginia's actually, as we said earlier, Virginia's actually up for being one of the top songs on Life at the Dusk on radio for 2010. So it's not a hip hop song. It's not hip hop whatsoever. It's hip, but it's rapping. Because that's why I told you it's rapping in it. But it's like a new. That you can't say it's hip hop, but it's hip hop with a new flair. We don't have to hear it the same exact way we've always heard it. So I actually take back how I read it at first. It is hip hop. It's just we don't hear it. It's not the same exact way that we always hear it. And I was trying to tell people that you do it the exact same way. Eventually, people get bored of you, and they're going to go, what makes you different? What's going to make me listen to you or whatnot? So, and, yeah, I was like, this, and I was like, this was going, like, real quick. song, I'm like, I can try all day to rap until even try, if I even tried to rap that fast. I done, you know, tripping over my feet trying to do that, so. I was like, I'm like, good God. Like, Twister, gotta be careful, man. Twister fast. Ain't too far behind Twister, man. You better watch out.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, man.
It's like you start taking. It's like you get onto like this, you get into this airplane, you just start taking flights, like, it's like you get ready, wheels are going, it's like, you just start going.
Yeah, and that song, a lot of people that, you know, listen to a lot of my hip hop songs when they heard that, because I guess it felt more under the techno trancey. That was one of the guys that when I did that song, it was another experimental track, you know, because like I said, we had a couple spots, but it was something different. And we actually ended up taking that to a rave club, that song to a rave club, and the turnout was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. You know, a lot of people that heard it first had to kind of get persuaded by the rave fans for them to kind of push it into their face to help me push it. Like, hey, why are you not feeling this song right here? This song is crazy, you know. And it took that environment and that group of people to kind of push it over and be like, hey, look, you know, they promoted it and stuff. And then people started to get in tune like, well, damn, actually, if you think about it, what is he talking about in this song? And then, oh, okay. And then they started to get it a little bit more, you know, because some people are pretty closed-minded when it comes to music. They're really selective and they have their genres that they stick to, and that's fine. But the idea is to kind of break the barriers, so.
Right. And I think I'm blessed. I say it's a blessing that my calling was to do radio because I get to hear different stuff. I hate hearing the same thing. So I'm like, when I get the chance to do this, and then it's just, I get to hear all these different mails and stuff, especially from this Global Tech Mixtape series. I mean, it's so many different sounds built into this project. Like, I can't, like I keep saying, and then yet again, view, I can't compare y'all to each other. It's like y'all have your own style. It is completely different, and I can't say, oh, this dude reminds me of this dude in the project. Like, y'all have y'all own different styles of how y'all approach things, and just, you know, just the different musical arrangements, everything about it is just amazing.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to this Global Tech Mixtape. You know, like I met a couple of guys, or I talked to a couple of guys, and you know, all great guys. And this project is going to be nice. So this project is going to be very nice. So definitely looking forward to that.
And how'd you actually how'd you actually find out about the project? Like, what led to you finding out the project?
Here, being here in Korea, I have to, you know, I'm not in tune with the States as much as I'd like to be, so I have to do all my things, my promotions through the internet. And I just went on Facebook, and then I was just sending massive videos to all the different, you know, celebrities trying to promote, trying to get people that I knew was going to go on their page to look at my videos. And I happened to post one of my songs. I can't remember exactly what song it was, but I posted a link on the Def Jam page. And then Scott McDowell has sent me a message on Facebook telling me about the project and what it was about. And then I had called him and spoke to him a little bit more in depth, and he explained it to me, and I thought it was a great opportunity. And I submitted my music to him, and after review, he was like, okay, so you're good. If you want to continue on with this project, you know, you're good. So I was like, absolutely. You know, opportunities like this, they don't come around that often, and once they do, you know, somebody that's serious and is willing to take the time to invest in and put their music out there, I believe you have to, especially being in a different continent. It's not being in the United States, it's not so easy to go up to somebody in a club and say, hey, look, I'm such and such, I want to do a show here, and get a steady following. You know, these people, you have to do a lot and keep pushing stuff in their face. So I think with this, is going to give the different places and countries a chance to, you know, leak into the mainstream global, you know, what the idea is of the mixtape. So I thought it was an opportunity that I definitely couldn't overlook.
All right. So, man, we're actually going to play one of your tracks, but before we play one of the tracks, I actually kind of want you to kind of give us a background on it. And let's see. Next one, I think this is the next one we should talk about. Let's talk about Dreams.
Okay.
What was your thought process when you were getting ready to make Dreams?
All right, I was in Iraq when I made Dreams, and I was working with this guy. He was a white guy. He made this beat. He had made the beat for Dreams. He actually made it right in front of me. I just told him kind of my idea, and you know, Iraq. It was, besides all the it just being hectic, it was a place that when you actually had some time to yourself, it was just, all you could do is dream. I mean, you just dreamed of a better situation. Like, wow, I just want some civilization. It's boring. You don't have any family. You don't have any communication. So I was just like, man. And I was just thinking, you know, a lot of stuff started running through my head, and I was just thinking about a perfect world at that time and the things that I imagined, you know, everything that I'm talking about in the song. I tried to be positive, and pretty much for the listeners out there who were with me in Iraq, I wanted them to feel like, okay, you listen to the song. We had the oceans in there to kind of make it soothing, you know what I mean? And we kind of tried to have it so once you listen to that song, it took you to a better state, you know, because it was a lot of stress for people out there. And I was like, look, this is the opportunity to make some music that when people hear it, they could just kind of sit back and be like, man, wow, this would be perfect, you know, and have a lot of people relate. So that's where that came from.
Okay, here we go. Let's check out Dreams and come back. We're going to talk some more with my boy Sixth Sense right here on Life at the Dusk Live.
I'm in a deep sleep. My dreams are like fantasies. Intensified by five times what the Lord's granted me. This move is a baby powder. House off the sand, could be on beaches. Sipping cold breezes under the canopy. Taking trips from their jets. No security checkpoints. Smoking on the aircraft. Finish rolling up the next joint. Looking out the window over the coast of Bolivia. Give a signal to the pilot. Could you land, sir? Please. You gotta practice good manners. It's a perfect world. Remember. Anyway, feeling like Hawaii summer in December. Eating hors d'oeuvres for dinner with ministers and ambassadors. Chandeliers, all glass doors. This is me inviting them to relax in one of my cribs in a very exotic country. I don't even pay tax. In fact, I probably only visit once and I vanish. Learn a little Spanish and I'm off exploring the planet. Turn the alarm off, I wanna sleep all day. Cause when I dream, life's perfect. I follow the hallway and I see the light. Play the heavenly sirens, holding treasures, bathing in tropical waters on the island. Turn the alarm off, I wanna sleep all day. Cause when I dream, life's perfect. I follow the hallway and I see the light. Sirens holding treasures, bathing in tropical waters on the island. Read a blind angel, each woman, she like a Roman goddess. Skin tone, toffee, hair long, like Pocahontas. She speak in a language I don't really understand, but it sounds so seductive. She grabbed one of my hands and she lead me to a room full of beautiful women with minimal clothing, laying in bed on smooth linen like a silk material. Forget milk and cereal, they start feeding me grapes. I'm thinking it's a miracle, getting fed with feathers about the size of wings on eagles. Sensing aroma taking over lingerie, see through. And I want it to last, cause whatever goes down is pleasure better than any treasure. At this moment I own it, I could dream forever. Turn the alarm off, I wanna sleep all day. Cause when I dream, life's perfect. I follow the hallway and I see the light. Play the heavenly sirens, holding treasures, bathing in tropical waters on the island. Turn the alarm off, I wanna sleep all day. Cause when I dream, life's perfect. I follow the hallway and I see the light. Play the heavenly sirens, holding treasures, bathing in tropical waters on the island. Man, there's no police in the streets are crowded with smoke from marijuana cause the people allow it and the government controls the power only enough to give praise to the strong and delete the cowards and the people work their 9-to-5 jobs but it's optional to see your family in poverty is impossible colossal size songs that hang on a chain but no need for robberies no reason for gangs cause the dough is too plentiful we all get it the same erase pain start fresh like restart on the game no more stories about kids getting slain you can choose to be a youth forever no cage, the whole brain is filled with images, prime existence, create a new world, third day, casting six senses, picture it, living in a world stress free, so go get some sleep, sweet dreams, but please let me.
Hey, what it do, man? This your homeboy, Six Figures, man, all the way from the West Coast, California. You understand that? And whenever I'm not in the studio, man, I'm sitting back chilling, man, listening to Life After Dusk live on Ice Radio USA and the Dust Spot. Ceddie J, I see you, man. Yay!
right, y'all, welcome back to Life at Dusk Live with your boy, Ceddie J. Man, that was Dreams. Man, it's like, you know, it's kind of like that ukulele sound. That's kind of what I kind of heard a little bit.
That's funny. That's funny that you said that. That's funny that you said that because that's exactly how that beat was made. It was actually within the. It could have been a uke. It could have been a uke, or I believe maybe an acoustic guitar. But it was made off a garage band, and it's a crazy way of beat making and stuff. Instead of using a keyboard or something like that, you just play it on the guitar, and you just change the sound of the instrument through garage band. So that's exactly. You had a real good ear for music.
Hey, hey! I told you, hey, I might don't be fooled. I play like massive amounts of instruments, so I know a little bit. I know a little something, something.
Okay, I see you.
But nah, man, it just I wanted to talk to you about, man, most definitely. Was like you on the Dust Spot, you put this video over there. It was, by the way, I want to say congratulations for being artist of the month for last month.
Thank you.
You came on there. You like you still are one of the most active people on there, and that's the thing is just definitely a big ups to you for that. It's continuing to make the community stronger and stronger and stronger, and definitely be a great example to people. As far as like, you know, it's a place where you get to just put your stuff at without, you know, because usually you go where people are like, oh, you're spamming your stuff here. It's a place where you can do that, you can put your stuff at not to hear anything about people complaining about you putting your product up.
Right. It's a wonderful opportunity, and, you know, thank you on behalf of all the artists and models to get a chance to go on the Dust Spot and, you know, expose themselves, and it's perfect.
And I definitely want to say this is Trey's one video, man. It was like, dang, it was deep. Was Always.
Mm-hmm.
You put that. I was like, dang, man. I was like, this is deep stuff. It was definitely, you know. First of all, it was like when you watch the video, it definitely drew you in because like the visual aspect of it. But then as you start listening to the lyrics as well. Just that playing along with it, like, dang. It really started hitting me, like, dang, this is, like, really deep.
That was a song that, because my son, you know, my son, he's five now. And honestly, I haven't had as much time to spend with him as I like to. He lives in Florida, and... You know, things didn't work out with me and his mom. And pretty much since the time he was about a year and a half going on two, me and his mom were separated. So, you know, I was off on assignment for military, and, you know, he was down in Florida. So when I got to see him, it was on big occasions, birthdays, holidays, things like that. So if you notice in the video that you never really seen a homey environment in that video, you know, and that's why I wanted to show the people not – you know, not so much to show about my life and my experience, but to have anybody that's going through the same thing be able to relate, you know, and just kind of let them know, you know, like, don't give up, you know, that's your family, that's your child. Make sure that you know, they know that you love them no matter what. Because, I mean, it's really a hard subject. It's a hard subject. And if you notice, like, in the video, we were in malls or restaurants or hotels. You never seen a house, you know. You never seen anything that you could be like, oh, okay, well, he has access at any time, you know. It kind of showed like actually how hard it was to really be able to spend time, and then how much we cherished the time spent together, no matter where it was. We tried to make the best of it. Balloons in the malls, you know, pillow fights in the hotels, whatever it was, you know, we had to try to make the best of it because that's all we had together. You know, it was for a very short amount of time, and you know, I just felt like the world should know, like, you know. For the fathers out there that really are trying to be a part of their kid's life, you know, there is hope, you know, but you have to make sure you do your part and let your child know that you love them no matter what the situation is.
Hello?
I'm saying, I feel like sometimes, like, some people kind of negate their responsibilities as a and it just amazes me that, you know, I feel that if your child is right there, in the same city as you, then you should not take advantage. You should take it to your advantage and make sure you see your child as often as possible. Because some people can be on the other side of the world and never get to see their child, and they really want to see them every day.
Exactly.
And I really felt that. You know, this is definitely a song. I listened to it. I was like, man, like, this video and the song all together, like, it's really deep because it really said, you know, a lot of people, their views on African American males, as far as when it comes to children and whatnot, are so crazy. And I understand, that there is a great amount of people who aren't living up to responsibility, but there's people who are. And they're doing it even when they're not even on the same side of the world.
Hello?
I feel that a lot of parents, like, they and that's what happens to them. So I just really want people to hold it down. And if your child, if you had your child right there with them, you need to take advantage of those moments that you get to have them every single day, and don't take it for granted and not appreciate them, because your child can either be on the other side of the world, or your child cannot be even on this earth anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, man, and see that deep subject, y'all. Hey, that's what we talk. You know, hey, I know we talk about stuff. We talk about some real stuff over here, man. And you know, I definitely. It's some funny moments, man. Like, what would you say is probably like one of the craziest things that's ever happened to you?
As far as with music, or as far as just in general?
Let's go in general first, so we go with the music.
in general, one of the craziest things. Matter of fact, we'll do this one. Just because it's the first thing that popped in my head that I could show proof for. I don't know if you saw it, but I have a video on YouTube. I have a car. Can you still hear me? I don't know, I was breaking up a little bit.
Yes,
can you hear me still?
I can hear you real clear. Yes, sir.
I have a video on YouTube called Mr. Anonymous, and I was involved with somebody back a little while ago, and I had gone to training on the Big Island of Hawaii. And I had this car that I was in love with. It was a 300 ZX 91 twin turbo. It was a beast. It was a beast. You know, I did everything. I put TVs, rims. I tried to do everything, subs. And I went for 10 days. And because of a salty relationship, I came back. My car was destroyed. I mean, anything you could think of, to the flash tires, the sugar in the gas tank, the paint, spray paint, just crazy. Crazy. Like I said, the video could be viewed on YouTube for everyone who's listening. Just type in Mr. Anonymous, Six Cents, and you will see it was terrible. It was terrible. You know, that's probably one of the craziest things. It actually involves both of them. That's regular personal life and music, because it originated from music, you know. And it happened because I was out doing shows and, you know, person didn't really like the attention that was coming from it in the comments and the people that were starting to come around and show face. So, you know, caused a little controversy, and, you know, that was the result.
Man. Ooh-wee. I'm like, you make me want to make sure I drive Pinto at all times.
Yeah.
They said she
wants
to see the Pinto, and then I drive a real expensive car, or like, it's like under a bat cave or something. It's like,
it's wild out there. It's wild.
Man, the world, man. Woo-wee. Yeah, that's definitely on my list. I heard some crazy ones on here. Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't heard ones that low yet. Yeah.
It was pretty messed up. So, you know, but like I said, it's just something now. You know, everything worked out for the better, and it's something you can laugh about now and be like, hey. You know, it was one of them things, but at the time I was like, oh, man, this ain't funny at all, man. I was like, hey. It was bad. So, but
it hurts you when it happens at first, but when you can live and laugh at it, and it's like, dang, it's not really just a mistake, as people would call it. It's more of an opportunity that you look back and say, man, I definitely learned from this one.
Oh yeah. That initial reaction was heartbreaking. Then I was like, oh man, somebody killed my dog or something. It was bad. Painful stuff. So,
how about this? So who would you say is probably the top three artists that inspired you, that's dead or alive? It doesn't even need to be alive.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to say, because where it started before Jay-Z, he's definitely up there. But before him, you know, it was Biggie. And that's somebody that I kind of wanted to emulate a little bit, because I love the storytelling. I said, you know, nobody can away from somebody saying they can steal your music, you're trying to sound like someone else. I always thought that if you tell a story, nobody can take your words, because you're telling a story. Like, how could somebody steal your music if you're telling something that's personal? See what I mean? I thought Biggie did that very well, so he definitely was my top, you know, still is. Next comes Jay-Z, because his mind for music and just for business, inspirational. You know, the stuff he talks about, his wittiness, wordplay, metaphors, whatever. Anything he wants to do, and it's a grown man flow. It's not anything that he seems like he tries too hard. I know what he does is amazing, and it takes a lot of work, but he makes it appear like it's a conversation, you know, just to get the gab. I love that. So he's definitely up there as number two. Number three, it's a little iffy, but I just say, just as far as the achievements and the success and the amount of music that's been produced, Lil Wayne. Not because he's, you know, on the top, just because of his work ethic. You know, I watched the thing, the Carter DVD. They said he had over 1,000-something songs recorded just for fun, that not even put out, you know, just because he loves it that much. And I said, you know, that's the drive that I look for, the drive that, you know, that I want to have and instill in myself. So for that, I put him number three.
Okay. I definitely got to give some love to the Jay-Z, too, man. He got one of the youngest, hottest acts in the game right now.
You talking about?
With Willow Smith. He got Willow Smith out there. So he's like, dang, man. He's like, dang, Jay-Z is so slick.
Yeah. Scooped it right on up, too. And she got a banger. So he knew what he was doing with that. She got a banger
it's
right now.
Shaking
so.
Your head. I'm like, and she, and like, I remember she did her first performance on Ellen's show, and I was like, okay, I'm feeling this. I'm definitely feeling this performance.
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to catch that, but I know I need to, because when I heard the song, I was like, at first I thought it was Rihanna. Like, I heard it, I was like, who is this? And then I heard the interview, I said, there's no way that's Willow Smith. Ain't she like 9 years old or something like that?
She just turned 10.
I was like, man, golly.
I actually posted it on my Facebook. It's on my Facebook somewhere. It's been all the links. It's on there. I remember I posted it. I was like, y'all got to check this. They had the video on YouTube. I was like, I got to check this out, man. I can't believe this.
Yeah. I know. That was what I was like, oh, man, what is going on right now?
nine with a banger like that. I was like, she sound good. I mean, she sound professional. She sound like she know what she doing on the mic. She nice. She talented. So, Rock Nation definitely standing up right now, looking pretty good. They roster looking pretty good.
About five more minutes left of the show, man. You know, I just definitely want to thank you for coming through. You know, definitely, I'm glad you know you're doing a lot of things, and you came in as far as not too far, and then not too far into the year, far into the year for us. Let me rephrase how I was saying it. Far into the year, but it felt like you've been here the whole year. This the stuff you've been doing. And I would tell people that it's very important to network with people. And if you see someone really, really, really putting it all to make sure they're pushing you, then you should definitely show them love back.
Right.
Because I see a lot of crab in the barrel people. I did custom, you know, a lot of times, and it's the thing you got to do, man. You know, you find out who is who, where and where. Yesterday I actually identified a new crab in the barrel, so I was like, okay, let me go ahead and close the barrel up on you, so you won't try to get out, try to pinch me with your crabbish hand. So, man, it's just, oh my God. And then, but it just drives you insane when those people allow other crabs to progress with them instead of people who are trying to help them. Help pull them up, because as they say, crabs in a barrel, what they do, they're known to pinch. And and everyone's wondering what that means. Like, if you go get some crabs, and because I know this because I get them, my mom gets blue crabs all the time. Buy a big old box of crabs and open up the box, watch them get ready to try to grab one. You're trying to grab that one. One is trying to pull one down, so it's not that they won't get got, but they really just pull themselves down. And that's the way, that's how crabs and barrel mentality actually got started. That's what it means. So, because of that, I definitely want to say, man, yo, definitely go ahead and give out your shout-outs, man, as far as, like, everyone that's got you to this point, man. Definitely show your shout-outs.
Oh, man, the list is long, but we'll go. First, we're gonna start with Steady J, you know, because well, we'll be on this interview without Steady J. So, you know, appreciate it for real, man. I appreciate the love. Thank you for the opportunity, man. From the bottom of my heart, man, I appreciate you. Secondly, I have to say Scott McDowell because, you know, he was the middleman for this. So, big up to Scott McDowell. A lot of people, everybody that's on the Global Attack mixtape, you know, because without the people coming in and submitting their music and having a drive and a hustle to do so, there wouldn't be a Global Attack mixtape. So, you know, the people that's supporting not only the Global Attack mixtape, but underground music in general, you know, the fans, the followers, big ups to y'all because music doesn't go anywhere without the people. So, big up to y'all. Definitely my family, my wife, probably the biggest support system I got besides my mother. I mean, they ride for me to the end, you know. They make sure my music get out there. They do what they can to network and help me out. The people that actually show love, I know that, you know, everybody out there trying to do their own thing on the web and whatnot and trying to promote their own stuff, but the people that take the time to tune in and, you know, hey, keep going and your music's great, man. That stuff, them little comments really big. For an artist, you got to feel me that their little comments, man, they keep you going. You know, the little, hey, your music sound great, you're going blow, man, you're amazing, I love your anything. Those little comments like that goes a long way, man. So keep that up, keep supporting. And, you know, just everybody that is coming to the studio, helping better my craft as far as producing music, as far as spitting music, all the people I've collabed with, it's a long list. So I just want to say thank you. Y'all know who I'm talking to.
Oh no, that's cool, man. You're showing love, man, and I want yet again thank you for calling in. I know it's like being on different time zones. It's always amazing when people from different time zones make sure they call in
and showing some love, and definitely give us a story. So I just want to thank you for that. And, you know, this much continued success, man. And, hey, I mean, it's not like I'm going to say, oh, I'm not going to talk to you for a while. No, we still, we all still kind of do things when we're not even on the show. So, you know, I just feel like I'll see you when you're not on the show. Because we still do stuff even when we're not on, man. And so, and I just want to say this. Man, we're going to see, man, December 30th, man. We're going to find out if you made it to the number one spot, man. We're going to find out.
All right. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, man. But, hey, either way, you know, much success and good luck to all the artists in the running right now. You know, whoever gets it, hey, big ups, you know, good work. We all trying to get it, you know what I'm saying? Stand by each other. We good.
Oh, definitely, man. I'm going to go ahead and... In the show, how I was, y'all know how I was doing this. Make sure y'all go to Dustbot at dustgals.news.com. The URL will actually change tomorrow. It's not, the site's not going to change. And everyone freaks out and they go, oh my God, you're a Buddhist site. No, you're signing the same way. There's going to be a new URL for you. So it'd be, you can still, but you still get it through the old URL, but definitely try to use the new URL. And I don't know. We'll find out who paid attention today and who finds out tomorrow. I'll go ahead and tell y'all what it's going to be. The new URL is going to be dustspot.net. Tomorrow it will be dustspot.net. Y'all stay very close, very tuned. That will be happening early afternoon in Texas time. So y'all be prepared for that. You're going to be like, what the heck? It changed overnight. So, yes, it'll be dustspot.net. And I want to leave y'all with this, and everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, let's remember this, where there's a J or where there's a U, through God, there is a way. Y'all have tuned to yet another episode of Life at Dust Live with your boy, Seti J, and a special guest, my new friend, a new partner in the business, Six Sense. We'll see y'all when we see y'all. And tomorrow's show actually going to be the youngest, and I mean the youngest artist on the Global Tech Mixtape Series. That's going to be my boy, Little Rico. So he's 15 on his project. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow and see kind of how it is with him doing that. And we're talking about his track, Life and Letters, which is actually on the project, which is actually on the run-ins for top song of the year too. So y'all be ready, man. And see y'all tomorrow.